Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that are listening in other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing everyone on the Sabbath, May 31st, 2025. This is our review of our chapter 86 entitled Go Teach All Nations of our lesson 435. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. But we are going to ask our dear brother to once more bless us with the tiny tot hymn to our theme entitled Marvelous Grace. Is the hymn number 109, and I will give the mic to our dear brother.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. Sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You who are longing to see His face, you in this moment will His grace receive. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, points to the refuge, no, grace that is greater than all our sins.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are going to ask one of the little tiny little ones by the help of parents or elder sibling to open their section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please just the Sabbath day to keep it holy in 6 days so that we can do all that work in the 7 days, the Sabbath of the Lord. To do it for the people who's in the Sabbath, the people who's not in the Sabbath. Please, the people who can join us in the Sabbath, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear little ones. It is time for our dear remnant family to hear all the little blessings that the little one has been to their parents or also to their family or even in any endeavors in their life. Would you like to share? Maybe unmute your mic.
Have a blessings, everyone. For mommies and daddies, little helpers, I'd like to highlight little Emma. Highlighting Emma as she has taken an interest as we're open in Sabbath on Friday nights, that she's being more engaged in the readings and is reading so very well by the grace of God. And I pray that as she is reading, that the Lord is opening up her understanding, that these very lessons that we are learning as parents on how to govern our families, that she may be able to have the Spirit by God's grace to recognize the things that is supposed to happen, and let her little light so shine, not just for her, but for her sister and for all those that she comes into contact with. So to God be the glory, and we continue to pray that she wants to learn to, wants to continue to read with us and participate, but let it be, the seeds be planted in her little heart. And also highlighting her as well, this week as I was, by God's grace, doing my gardening, she was there also. She had eaten some oranges a while ago, and she had saved the seeds. And so we were able, by God's grace, to be able to put those seeds down. We're hoping, by God's grace, that her, she'll be blessed and that she'll see something culminate from it. But that is according to the grace of God. And so wanted to highlight her for her willingness as well as there to be a little gardener as well.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any of the remnant family that would like to share the little blessings in their household? You may have the chance to do so. May you unmute your mic.
I would like to also highlight my granddaughter. She's not here, but she likes to, she's very attentive to like little creatures, I would say. Like she likes, like she had a slug and she was trying to take care of it, and she had it in her hand. And like, I like animals and I like little critters from afar. But she just loved to like want to take care of them, and also she likes to just take care of babies. Like a little, she has like a slew of little dolls that are baby dolls, and she's always taking care of them, making sure that they're fine. So that is just something that is she has a nurturing spirit. Early on, I can see that, and I just want to highlight highlight her for that.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. It's story time, little ones, for our review. So let's have a listening ears for our dear brother. We'll be able to share part two of chapter 25 entitled In Joseph's Tomb in the story about Jesus. And I will pass the mic to him.
All right. Good morning. The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of John, chapter 19, 40, 41, and 42. Short story, very inclusive verses. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never laid man yet laid. There lay they Jesus before because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. The most honored in Jerusalem could not have been more shown more respect in death. The humble followers of Jesus were astonished to see these wealthy ruling rulers taking such an interest in the burial of their master. The disciples were overwhelmed with sorrow at the death of Christ. They forgot that he had told them it was to take place. They were without hope. Neither Joseph nor Nicodemus had openly accepted the Savior while he was living, but they had listened to his teachings and had closely watched every step of his ministry. You suppose they got reports from Capernaum and Galilee of what was going on up there? Had to. They couldn't have followed him. Somebody would have said, hey, so you're one of his disciples. Anyway, although the disciples had forgotten the Savior's words foretelling his death, Joseph and Nicodemus remembered them well. So they had some things prepared. Maybe the spices were something that they saw coming and said, let's get this stuff ready. Or at least the death that was coming. And the scenes connected with the death of Jesus, which disheartened the disciples and shook their faith, only proved to these rulers that he was the true Messiah and led them to take their stand firmly as believers in him. The help of these rich and honored men was greatly needed at this time. They could do for their dead master what it was impossible for the poor disciples to do. Gently and reverently, they, with their own hands, removed the body of Christ from the cross. Their tears of sympathy fell fast as they looked upon the bruised and torn form. Joseph owned a new tomb hewn in a rock. He had built it for his own use, but he now prepared it for Jesus. The body, together with the spices brought by Nicodemus, was wrapped in a linen sheet, and the Redeemer was borne to the tomb, or carried to the tomb. This is from the story of Jesus, age 150.
Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will be continuing with part 3 of our lesson entitled In Joseph's Tomb, in a tiny thought lesson book, The Story of Jesus, and that will take place, dear one, June 7, 2025. I will hand back our dear brother the review for the children.
Oh, my, I'm getting ready to take off and missing out some of it here. Oh, the review. What happened to these disciples overwhelmed with sorrow of Christ's death?
The answer to number one is they forgot that he had told them it was to take place.
Yes, my brother was bringing out the other day how many times Jesus had told his disciples in the last week or so of his life that he was going to die. And yet the astonishment of his death overwhelmed them. You see, they were raised under a false belief that one day Jesus would, by force, take the kingdom, assume a seat, ascend to a throne, and throw the Romans out. That's what they wanted the most. They wanted to get rid of the Romans. Okay, who remembered the Savior's words foretelling his death?
The answer to number two is that Joseph and Nicodemus remembered it well.
Yes. Why that is that they remembered and the other guys didn't, we'll have to ask them when we get to heaven. What did the scenes connected with the death of Jesus prove to them?
The answer to number three is that it proved that to these rulers that he was the true Messiah.
Yes. Joseph and Nicodemus had read the scriptures and they said, oh my soul, if this man is crucified, we'll know that's a fulfillment of scripture. And that'll confirm their faith, and it did. Okay, thank you for participating.
Thank you so much, dear brother. So it's time for a tiny talk, and parents and guests to be able to learn all the review of the precious lesson in God's creation through nature. We are still in our topics, Moments of the Bible, and our dear brother will be the one to share.
God blesses everyone. Here's today's question concerning the Moments of the Bible. Will be viewing the spiritual lesson before the nature lesson. Our Bible verses for our lesson review is taken from the book FBL, Family Bible Lesson, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 7, Jesus Calms the Storm, Matthew chapters 18-27, King James Version. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this?" "They even the winds and the sea obey him." Mark 4:35-37 says, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." We're looking through the spiritual lesson from last week, from section 1, All Manner of Mammals. In the memory verse, 2 Corinthians 10:5, King James Version says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The character quality of the story is obedience versus willfulness. Obedience is compliance with God's command done quickly and cheerfully. Weariness and hunger. All day he had been teaching and healing, and as evening came, the crowds still pressed upon him. Day after day he had ministered to them, scarcely pausing for food or rest. The malicious criticism and misrepresentation with which the Pharisees constantly pursued him made his labors much more severe and harassing. And now the close of the day found him so utterly weary that he determined to seek retirement in some solitary place across the lake. The eastern shore of Gennesaret was not uninhabited, for there were towns here and there beside the lake. Yet it was a desolate region when compared to the western side. It contained a population more heathen than Jewish, that had little communication with Galilee. Thus it offered Jesus the seclusion he sought, and he now bade his disciples accompany him thither. The desire of Jesus, page 233-334. The disciples obeyed his request. After he had dismissed the multitude, they took him, even as he was, into the boat and hastily set off. But they were not to depart alone. There were other fishing boats lying near the shore, and these were quickly crowded with people who followed Jesus, eager still to see and hear him. The Savior was at last relieved from the pressure of the multitude, and overcome with weariness and hunger, he lay down in the stern of the boat and soon fell asleep. The evening had been calm and pleasant, and quiet rest stood upon the lake, but suddenly darkness overspread the sky. The wind swept wildly down the mountain gorges along the eastern shore. A fierce tempest burst upon the lake. The desire of the stage change was 34. Here in the mind, things you can do while you remember the lesson. When, as you work together as a family, let your chores remind you of your lesson. As you change the sheets on the bed, remember how weird Jesus was as he rested in the boat on the sea. The disciples got so busy trying to save themselves that they forgot Jesus was on board. Try to keep a continuous sense of the presence of Jesus with you. It will help you to not be afraid. He has promised, "I am with you always," Matthew 20:20. Reinforce: 1. Look for mammals, use your guidebook to identify them. 2. Find stakes, a hammer, and a very large field, and stake out the size of a blue whale. And 3. For individual activities, these stories and poems, use the book entitled Children's Bible Activities, Stories and Poems for this quarter. 4. Stay your memory verse. Remarkable parent food. We embarked in a small boat which was to convey us across the channel to the coast of Denmark. Here I was provided with a stateroom containing two sofas and shut in by heavy curtains, accommodations which we then thought hardly necessary for a day, a journey of only 6 hours. We had occasion, however, change this opinion before reaching land. The first hour was we spent on deck in the cheerful and well-furnished ladies' cabin. The weather was pleasant, the sea eased smooth, and we anticipated an enjoyable trip. But soon the captain, passing through the cabin, advised us to go below and lie down at once, for we were coming into rough water. We complied, though rather unwillingly. In a short time, the boat began to rock violently. We could hardly keep our position upon the sofa. I became very ill, now in a profuse perspiration, as if every organ was struggling against the terrible old malady, now overcome by deathly seasickness. Death seemed so very near, but I felt that I could cling with the firm grasp of faith to the hand of Jesus. He holds the waters in the hollow of his hand, and to keep us in the tempest. The waves of the great deep obey his voice. Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be saved. I thought how Jesus calmed the fears of his disciples as he stilled the storm in me Galilee. Should I be afraid to trust his protection by giving me my word? My heart was kept in perfect peace because it was stayed on him. The lesson of trust I learned during these few hours was very precious. I found that every trial of life is given to teach me a new lesson of my own dependence and of trust in my Heavenly Father. We may believe that with God is with us in every place, and in every trying hour we may hold fast that hand which has all power. My Life Today, page 136, all written by Ellen White Stewart. And over here, notice the whale out in the ocean in this picture. And there's a picture of it in the drawing. And a small clipping of a moving picture of a whale with water coming out of its blowhole. And on our right, we see another moving picture of a humpback whale swimming in the ocean. Yeah. What can we learn from our nature walk experience, Dylan? Let's use our listening ears, little one. From the picture of iris flowers, we got lesson. Nature, iris, perennial. The iris is a beautifully colored flower. The word iris comes from the Greek word for rainbow. It has many shades and combinations of colors. The iris colors of the rainbow reminds us of the covenant or promise that Israel made with God to be obedient. The iris has an unusual shape. It has three sets of three petal-like parts. The ones on the bottom are called falls, the ones above are called standards, and the three style branches cover the stamens in the center. Thus the number three appears repeatedly in the iris. Three is God's number. There were three groups in the Israelites who marched around Jericho. The falls remind us of the army in Israel and the process that was around Jericho. The standards remind us of the warriors leading. The star branches remind us of the seven priests with the trumpets and the priests carrying the ark in the middle of the procession. The leaves of the iris grow from underground stems. Most iris bulbs are elongated and grow best in the direct sun. The underground stems of the bearded iris are used for perfume and powders. This can bring to mind how Israel was brought from Egypt as the leaves out of the ground to bloom in obedience as a sweet fragrance to the world. A design made from a white iris is used as a symbol for north on the compass. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, just as flowers are the evidence of roots not seen. The obedience of the Israelites in marching around the sea showed that their roots of faith had grown deeply and were taken in the water of life. The perennials are one. Remember, perennials are plants that live at least 3 years. They may not bloom during the first year of growth. Once they begin to bloom, they do so every year afterwards, depending on their species. Some examples of perennials are lily of the valley, aster, iris of the bird, peony, primrose, sweet violet, and many more. Moses and Aaron can remind us of perennials blooming year after year, demonstrating their beauty. Moses and Aaron again and again show their beauty of character by their love for the people and respect for God. And here's some lessons we learned about the Mako shark, or big part, or sister of blue. The Mako shark, scientific name, genus Isurus. Neither are two species of swift, active, potentially dangerous sharks of the mackerel shark family, Laminidae. The short fin Mako, who Isurus oxyrhynchus, is found in all tropical and temperate seas, and the long fin Mako, Iapacus, is scattered worldwide in tropical seas. Mako sharks, also known as sharp-nosed mackerel sharks, and in Australia, blue pointers, range throughout tropical and temperate seas. They are streamlined and relatively slender, and have pointed snouts, crescent-shaped tails, and long, slender teeth. Body coloration ranges from blue-gray to deep blue dorsally, and is white ventral. The large adults may approach 4.5 meters, or 14.8 feet in length, and exceed 500 kilograms, about 1,100 pounds in weight. Mako sharks prey on fish such as herring, mackerel, and swordfish, and on small cetaceans. They are outstanding food and game fish, prized for their fighting qualities and peel leaps out of the water. Here, they're taken from the picture we're taken from the moonlight between the trees. A reflector. The Bible says of the moon, it shineth not, Job 25:5. The moon does not shine in the same way as the sun. It only reflects the borrowed light of the greater light. As such, it teaches us some important lessons. We also have no spiritual light of our own, except as we reflect borrowed light from that which is greater than ourselves. As the moon and the stars of the solar system shine by the reflected light of the sun, so as far as their teaching is true to the world's great thinkers reflect the rays of the sun of righteousness. Every gem of thought, every flash of the intellect is from the light of the world. The desire ranges to page 465. The troublesome times of the last days will be the dark background, like the night sky against which the church moon will shine. As calamities after calamity happen to the remnant, they will display their trust and patience. And so Job. Thus they will demonstrate the evidence of God's restoring power in the final judgment. God is so confident of their loyalty, and they will stand true under the most severe test, that he leaves the center from which he has ministered forgiveness for their specific sins. At this time, the righteous live without a mediator, and the universe sees the proof that God's judgment to save them is just. Do you want to be part of a group that makes that final glorious demonstration? If so, you must learn to deny self. Next is the sugar cane, like taken from your sister Ceasing's family. What is the sugar cane? Sugar cane is a tropical grass that is cultivated around the world to produce refined sugar, sugar cane juice, and medicinal crude products. Maple of sugar roots products. Sugar products are made from the sugar cane include refined white sugar, brown sugar, molasses, jet, and jaggery. Like what we're seeing in that picture. Potential health benefits of cane sugar. Many people believe that sweeteners like honey, brown sugar, or molasses are healthier than cane sugar, but that's not true. While some contain tiny amounts of minerals, they're all simple carbohydrates that your body uses for energy. The fact is that your body doesn't need any added sugars. The sugar cane juice is one of the purest forms of sugar cane other than the plant stocks themselves. It has very few nutrients, but maintains more of the plant's natural vitamins than milk, the more highly processed product, but still considered to be an added sugar. And in the diagram above, we see the outside is the node. So then there's the leaf scar, or where the leaves are shooting out. The inner node, so is the inside of a cane, and the bud, which is the holes. And below is the vascular bundle, which is where it has been broken off. Then we have the June plum tree. Over here, on top above the picture, we see June plum dwarf and Barella fruits, jewel plum. The June plum, also known as the dwarf Barella, is a gorgeous, small, fast-growing tropical, subtropical fruit tree that produces clusters of large, oval-shaped, plum-flavored fruit. The fruit has a texture similar to apple and a light flavor combination of apple, pineapple, and mango. History of the June plum. The June plum tree originated in Melanesia, a chain of islands in the tropical western Pacific Ocean east of the Philippines. On the islands where the tree is native, it can grow up to 65 feet or 20 meters tall. It would be difficult to harvest the fruit, except it conventionally falls to the ground while it is still green and ripens after it is harvested. Next, needleleaf trees. These, like the one in the picture where Brother Jeremiah and Sister Christy are touching the leaves. This year, the family of needleleaf trees includes members such as firs, hemlocks, pines, redwoods, and spruces, which is the kind of tree they're touching. There are about 500 kinds of needleleaf trees. Most of them have narrow, pointed, needle-like leaves. A few types have narrow, scale-like leaves, such as cedars and junipers. In the beginning, all trees were evergreen, even the broadleaf trees, but soon changed that. Most needleleaf trees have a growth pattern with a strongly leading shoot. Short side branches grow out of the main shoot. Most firs and spruce trees grow tall and straight. Pine trees branch out and are not pointed at the top. The special shape of each kind of tree makes us think about how people who look alike are often related or belong to one family. Needleleaf trees are called softwoods because most of them have softer wood than broadleaf trees. Some with harder woods are Douglas, fir, and yews. Needleleaf trees belong to a group of plants called gymnosperms. These do not have flowers and their seeds are not enclosed to form fruit. Most gymnosperms bear their seeds in cones. Our reference reading of our lesson, Mammals of the Bible Review, taken from our study book, The Desire of Ages, chapter 35, says, Peace be still. It has been in an uneventful day in the life of Jesus. Besides the Sea of Galilee, he had spoken his first parable by familiar illustrations, again explained to the people the nature of his kingdom and the manner in which it was to be established. He had likened his own work to that of a sower, the development of his kingdom to the growth of a mustard seed, and the effect of leaven in the measure of meal. A great final separation of the righteous and the wicked he had pictured in the parables of the wheat and tares and the fishing net. The exceeding preciousness of the truth he taught he had been illustrated by the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. While in the parable of the householder, he taught his disciples how they were to labor as his representatives. Desire of Ages, page 233, paragraph 1. All day he had been teaching and healing, and as evening came on, the crowd still pressed upon him. Day after day, he ministered to them, scarcely pausing for food or rest. The malicious criticism and misrepresentation with which the Pharisees constantly pursued him made his labors much more severe and harassing. And now the close of the day found him so utterly weary that he determined to seek retirement in some solitary place across the lake. Desire of Ages, page 333, paragraph 2. Continuing, the eastern shore of Gennesaret was not uninhabited, but there were towns here and there beside the lake. It was a desolate region when compared with the western side. It contained a population more heathen than Jewish and little communication with Galilee. Thus it offered Jesus the seclusion he sought, and he now bade his disciples accompany him this. Desire of Ages, page 233, paragraph 3. After he had dismissed the multitude, they took him, even as he was, into the boat and hastily set off. But they were not to depart alone. There were other fishing boats lying near the shore, and these were quickly crowded with people who followed Jesus, eager still to see and hear him. Desire of Ages, page 234, paragraph 1. The Savior was at last relieved from the pressure of the multitude, and overcome with weariness and hunger, he lay down the stern of the boat and soon fell asleep, and the evening had been calm and pleasant, and quiet rested it upon the lake. But suddenly, darkness overspread the sky. The wind swept wildly down the mountain gorges along the eastern shore, and a fierce tempest burst upon the lake. Desire of Ages, page 334, paragraph 2. The sun had set, and the blackness of night fell down upon the stormy sea. The waves, lashed in a fury by the howling winds, dashed fiercely over the disciples' boat and threatened to engulf them. Those hardened fishermen had spent their lives upon the lake and had guided their craft safely through many a storm. But now their strength and skill availed nothing. They were helpless in the grasp of the tempest, and hope failed of them as they saw that their boat was still. Desire of Ages, page 234, paragraph 3. Okay, and here are three bonus questions. Review is question one is, and what request did Jesus make of the disciples? You can find the answer in Mark 4:35. Two, who followed them? The answer is in Mark 4:36. And question three, which is two, put in 31. What happened to the calm sea? Why is it important when you are very tired to not eat but sleep first? The answer for the first one is in Mark 4:37. And for the second question, in the third rank, it says that, which gives the answer, that is what Jesus did. Overcome with weariness and hunger, he lay down the stern of a boat and soon fell asleep. And I'll give the mic back to Mike now. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you so much, dear brother. And remember, little ones, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace that is greater than all our sins. Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining and came in earlier. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Before the Throne of God Above, and is in hymn 283. If you would like to share the hymn, dear ones, you can be able to unmute your mic to do so. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love. Whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can be me days depart. No tongue can be me days depart.
When Satan tempts me to despair and tell me of all the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my soul is counted. My sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me.
Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high. With Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. We are going to ask the little ones or even the elder ones, by the help of parents, any of our guests, any one of the brethren that would like to open the family review section of our study, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. Please protect us. Please protect the people who are here, the people who are not here. Please protect us as we're going to be learning a new word today. Please protect everybody that I know. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray,
amen. Amen. Thank you so much, dear little one. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from the scripture song singer songs in the section promises of the memory verse CD. It's taken from 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 17, King James Version margin.
He careth for you. Caring for you, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5 verse 7.
Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us here. So what we have learned and ways we have grown this week, we are going to take a few minutes to reread the first part of our study from last Sabbath, which is part one of our lesson entitled, Go Teach All Nations, in our study book, The Desire Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic to do so.
Desire of Ages, page 818. standing but a step from his heavenly throne, Christ gave the commission to his disciples. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, he said. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark chapter 16, verse 15.
Continuing the reading. Again and again the words were repeated, that the disciples might grasp their significance. Upon all the inhabitants of the earth, high and low, rich and poor, was the light of heaven to shine in clear, strong rays. The disciples were to be co-laborers with their Redeemer in the work of saving the world. The Desire of Ages, page 818, paragraph 1. Amen.
We're reading from Desire of Ages, page 818. The commission had been given to the 12 when Christ met with them in the upper chamber, but it was now to be given to a larger number. At the meeting on a mountain in Galilee, all the believers who could be called together were assembled. Of the meeting, Christ himself, before his death, had designated the time and place. Next slide, please. Continuing. The angel at the tomb reminded the disciples of his promise to meet them in Galilee. The promise was repeated to the believers who were gathered at Jerusalem during the Passover week, and through them it reached many lonely ones who were mourning the death of their Lord. With intense interest, all looked forward to the interview. Next slide, please.
Continuing. Go ahead, dear brother.
Okay. The Desire of Ages, page 118, continuing. They made their way to the place of meeting by circuitous routes, coming in from every direction to avoid exciting the suspicion of the jealous Jews. With wondering hearts, they came, talking earnestly together of the news that had reached them concerning Christ. Desire of Ages, page 818, paragraph 2.
Desire of Ages, page 818. At the time appointed, about 500 believers were collected in little knots on the mountainside, eager to learn all that could be learned from those who had seen Christ since his resurrection. From group to group, the disciples passed, telling all they had seen and heard of Jesus, and reasoning from the scriptures as he had done with them. Thomas recounted the story of his unbelief. Next slide, please. Continuing. And told how his doubts had been swept away. Suddenly, Jesus stood among them. No one can tell whence or how he came. Many who were present had never before seen him, but in his hands and feet they beheld the marks of the crucifixion. His countenance was as the face of God, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. Desire of Ages, page 818, paragraph 3.
Continuing, but some doubted. So it will always be. There are those who find it hard to exercise faith, and they place themselves on the doubting side. These lose much because of their unbelief. Desire of Ages, on page 819, paragraph 1, and on the slide, it's a verse from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16, and it reads, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand." And that's again from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16. Amen.
The Desire of Ages, page 819. This was the only interview that Jesus had with many of the believers after his resurrection. He came and spoke to them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." The disciples had worshipped him before he spoke, but his words, falling from lips that had been closed in death, thrilled them with peculiar power. He was now the risen Savior. Many of them had seen him exercise his power in healing the sick and controlling satanic agencies.
Continuing. They believed that he possessed power to set up his kingdom at Jerusalem, power to quell all oppositions, power over the elements of nature. He had stilled the angry waters. He had walked upon the white-crested billows. He had raised the dead to life. Now he declared that all power was given to him. His words carried the minds of his hearers above earthly and temporal things to the heavenly and eternal. They were lifted to the highest conceptions of his dignity and glory. The Desire of Ages, page 819, paragraph 2.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear friend and family. So what have we learned in ways we have grown? Considering this scripture from our Holy Bible, from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version, "Be sanctified, O Lord God, in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that ask you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." For the dear brethren that are able to read the questions that we have reserved from last Sabbath, I will be able to reread it. And if you are moved, dear ones, to be able to share and to edify the little ones and their family, you may do so by God's grace. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. The first is, who is the main character or characters? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And the last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to type it in the room, dear ones, you may do so. Otherwise, you can use the mic. Who would like to take the first one?
Who's the main character or characters? Here we see Jesus, the disciples, and those who gathered on the mount to listen to what the disciples are saying. What is the main idea for this section of our story? The main idea is the message of the risen Savior, and not just to those who had seen him, but to those who were in disbelief and those that believed that gathered to hear the message.
Number three, where did this story take place? It's taking place at the side of a mountain in Galilee.
This story continues to follow after the resurrection of Christ.
My answer to question five, how could you relate to the story? How I could relate to it is Christ was giving his message is that he wanted the disciples to go out and teach as many people as they can and across the world to let them know that he is the Christ and to teach them everything concerning the Lord and about him so that they can be able to have a choice is to worship him just as much as just the disciples or any other of the followers of Jesus were.
I would like to add to that. I can relate in that when the Lord gives the command to preach gospel into all the world and to every nation and tongue and every person, no matter what their color or anything, any race or anything like that, that the gospel was supposed to go to the ends of the earth. And he had a time gave that command to his disciples and the believers. And I, as one of the believers in Christ, I believe that also is a command for me and also for all who believe in him in this time.
There was something that stood out to me for number six. What did I learn or what is learning? When the scripture says that many are called, but few are chosen, we can see a tad bit of why that is. So the Lord Jesus Christ came down to die for us and has the mark in his hand and in his feet. And even though he showed up in the midst of people, and showed it to them so that they may believe. The story brought out to us that there were some that believed and worshiped him, and there's others that won't believe, and that is so sad. It's very interesting to see that. What more evidence do you want? But that was something that stood out to me from this particular section of this lesson.
Is there anyone that would like to be able to share what they have learned? I have seen something that it was very beautiful to see. The time when the disciples were walking with the Savior, they communed with him, and they got to see all the miracles and all the things that they had witnessed with them. But then after the Lord still had to prepare them in order for them to be able to do so, by helping them to deal with circumstances that they was having a problem with. And the Lord came back and sat with them. And it's through their witnessing that they had the experience with the Savior that others was able to share what it is that they have experienced with him. But if you notice, it all started in the upper room. From the upper room, it started to go into the cloud, the crowds that they went and speak to. But then after that, they went from little group here and there. And that is the same thing that the Lord wants to be able to help us with today. We have experiences in our life with what the Lord has done with us, but also we still need to be prepared in order for us to be able to go out, because there's so many different walks of life, different belief and different experiences. But the Lord shows that the disciple was sharing them, but with the scripture, because it's the word of God that helps to convict. And also, it's the word of God that actually opens their mind, that they can be able to see what Jesus is, so much as the words, being that he is the word, and he is also the light. But if the word and the light is not shared, then people cannot look deep into their condition and their darkness. We are disciples today, as he was teaching the disciples then. John 17 will tell us how far the foundation of when he sent us out. So we are so grateful that the Lord, the same yesterday, is the same today. And as we pray and we ask the Lord for guidance, he sent the Holy Spirit to be able to do so as well. And even if there's any perplexity that we may have in our understanding or wherever we are, he can meet us there. And that is the beauty that I saw in this particular study. And we are so grateful that the Lord gave us that gift, that we can always go back and study for ourselves so we can have a better understanding of it. If there are anybody else that would like to be able to share, maybe you'll mute your mic.
Yes, thank you, dear sister, and amen. One thing that struck me as very important in this is that when Christ resurrected, there were very few disciples that saw him personally. Mary was one of them. She went back and told the others. And, you know, you wonder why Christ didn't just appear to all the 11 disciples there. I mean, there was more, but why didn't Christ appear to them all? And our dear sister Cece brought up the aspect that it dealt with having to accept by faith the witness of other disciples. So Christ here is bringing out the importance of believing in the testimony of others. So this is not so much a doctrine. This is what they have seen that they are revealing to others in a testimony, in a witness. Now, their witness agreed with Scripture, but at this point in time, they didn't understand the Scriptures regarding Christ dying for 3 days and then being resurrected. But it also reveals that the disciples who were forced to exercise faith, some of them didn't have enough trust in the testimony of others. They doubted what others told them, even though they trusted in the honesty of their fellow disciples, right? So they trusted in the honesty of one another, but they didn't trust in the witness of one another. And so it was like they're declaring, you're honest in every aspect except this testimony where you're dishonest. And it shows us that we need to be able to trust one another in their testimonies. Not so much the doctrines that they present, right? But in the testimonies that they bring to us or we hear from them regarding their experience with God. But even with Thomas, it was a test, not just to Thomas, but to the rest of the disciples. Because very few of them believed Mary's testimony. Peter and John had to run to the sepulcher to see for themselves. So it's like, yeah, okay, I hear what you're saying, but I got to see it for myself. So it shows us that our relation to one another needs to be of such a bond that we believe what they tell us their experience with the Lord is, without doubting them, without having to double check their testimony. But with Thomas, he was of the type of spirit that wouldn't believe unless he saw tested for himself. And look at how Christ treated him. He had two witnesses, Mary's witness, the people from the road to Emmaus, the other 10 disciples. He had all of those witnesses saying the same thing to him, and yet he didn't believe. But Christ didn't cast him aside because of his doubting. Christ personally came to him. He was with the rest of the disciples, but Christ personally manifested himself for Thomas's behalf. So we know that without faith it's impossible to please God, but God just doesn't cast us aside because of our doubt. He will make it apparent that he is our Lord and that we are at fault for doubting his word and for doubting the words of our other brethren. Yeah, it's a manner of love to Thomas. He didn't want to lose Thomas as being his disciple, but Thomas kind of boxed himself in. I will not believe unless. And here we see Christ, out of compassion, coming to Thomas so that Thomas could believe. It's astounding, the merciful kindness and tender-heartedness of our Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. We are going to continue in our study. We have thoughts, favorite poem, and also special music. The thought is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy book entitled Maranatha, chapter 138, entitled Spiritism and Revolution. The reflection is entitled The Covenant, and it's taken from manuscript release number 31. The scripture of our opening for our thought is taken from Luke 10:27, King James Version, and it reads, "And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
As the youth go out into the world to encounter its allurements to sin, the passion for money, getting, for amusement and indulgence, for display, luxury and extravagance, and overreaching, fraud, robbery and ruin, what are the teachings there to be met? Maranatha, page 146, paragraph 2.
Spiritualism asserts that men are unfallen demigods, that each mind will judge itself, that true knowledge places men above all law, that all sins committed are innocent, for whatever is right, and God doth not condemn. The basis of human beings it represents as in heaven and highly exalted there, thus it declares to all men.
It matters not what you do. Live as you please. Heaven is your home. Multitudes are thus led to believe that desire is the highest law, that license is liberty, and that man is accountable only to himself.
From Maranatha, page 146, paragraph 3, and continuing on paragraph 4, with such teaching given at the very outset of life, when impulse is strongest and the demand for self-restraint and purity is most urgent,
Where are the safeguards of virtue? What is to prevent the world from becoming a second Sodom?
All the same time, anarchy is seeking to sweep away all law, not only divine, but human. The centralizing of wealth and power, the vast combinations for the enriching of the few at the expense of the many, the combinations of the poor classes for the defense of their interests and claims, the worldwide dissemination of the same teachings that led to the French Revolution, all are tending to involve the whole world in a struggle similar to that which convulsed France. And at page 146, paragraph 5.
Such are the influences to be met by the youth of today. To stand amidst such upheavals, they are now to lay the foundations of character, Maranatha 146:6. In every generation and in every land, the true foundation and pattern for character building have been the same.
The divine law, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy neighbor as thyself, Luke 10:27, the great principle made manifest in the character and life of our Savior, is the only secure foundation and the only sure guide. Maranatha, page 146, paragraph 7.
Reflections. Man gains everything by the covenant keeping with God. God attributes all imparted to man, enabling him to exercise mercy and compassion. God's covenant assures us of his unchangeable character. Why then are those who claim to believe in God changeable, fickle, untrustworthy? Why do they not do service partly as under obligation to please and glorify God? Manuscript Release 111:1.
It is not enough for us to have a general idea of God's requirements. We must know for ourselves what His requirements and our obligations are. The terms of God's covenant are, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Luke chapter 10, verse 27. These are the conditions of life. "This do," Christ said, "and thou shalt live." Luke chapter 10, verse 28. First manuscript releases, page 111, paragraph 2.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our poem is titled "Go," taken from Children Bible Activity Book, Year 3, Quarter 1, Lesson 4, in page 85 of the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear one? May you unmute your mind.
Number 1, go on thy loving mission. Go. Some hungry mouth will welcome thee and feed with living bread the soul. To all, the bread of life is free.
Go, cheer some household of the poor with needful food, the price of sin, and teach the wayward child of guilt eternal life and joy to win.
3. The meat that perishes and wastes, though all unasked, is freely given. In hope, the precious words of truth may lead the sinner safe to heaven.
Go with thy burden, speak in love, where sinful hands shall put thee down, and bring thy tidings back at last, with stars to gem the master's crown.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. Our special music is a beautiful scripture song inspired by Luke chapter 10, verse 27, which is our opening scripture, that read, "And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And the little song is entitled, "Love the Lord." It's going to be sung a cappella, and I'm going to play for you.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And you shall
Amen. Praise the Lord. If there's any testimony that you would like to share, we can be able to do that either in between or even after the services, dear one. We have come at the end of our first part of this new chapter. The chapter is entitled, Go Teach All Nations. So next week, we will start with part two of this title in our study book, The Desired Ages. If any one of the little one, mommies or daddies, our guests, or anyone that is impressed to do closing prayer, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so.
Then we bow our heads and our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father, who art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Again, we thank you, Father Jesus, for bringing us safely through another week to worship and praise you on this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for bringing us throughout all the trials and all the difficulties and all circumstances and situations and back here at this Sabbath day to praise and honor your name. Thank you for all the blessings, the miracles, provisions, and everything that you have provided for us. We thank you also for the little ones and their participation. We thank you also for their parents. And also, Father, we thank you for the blessing and the comfort that we have, that you have not left anything by for chance, that you have planned out everything beforehand. And when we are in distress, we can remember, or we should remember, Father Jesus, that you are there with us. Be with us now as we go to the other sections of the studies. We continually pray for your blessing. We continuously also pray for the speaker and also for you to bless him. Be with us, Father, for the rest of the Sabbath day, and thank you once more for your love and mercy towards us. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will have part two of our lesson. It will be 436 of our chapter 86 entitled, Go Teach All Nations. And that will be held June 7, 2025, dear ones. Leaving the scripture and also a little quote from a manuscript release, but this is paragraph 3. The scripture is taken from Hebrews chapter 8, 7, and it reads, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." And from our whole, Christ's death and resurrection completed his covenant. Before this time, it was revealed through types and shadows, which pointed to the great offering to be made by the world's Redeemer, offered in promise for the sins of the world. Anciently, believers were saved by the same Savior as now, but it was a God veil. They saw God's mercy in figures. The promise given to Adam and Eve in Eden was the gospel to a fallen race. The promise was made that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head and it should bruise his heel. Christ's sacrifice is the glorious fulfillment of the whole Jewish economy. The Son of Righteousness has risen. Christ, our righteousness, is shining in the brightness unto us. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and may God bless each one.